is the Hong Kong Football Podcast coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, after a fortnight in which, to widespread relief and despite FA beef, the Hong Kong team gets a new chief. Summer rain goes insane and nearly ruins Southern game, and an early kitschy test from RNF who impressed, despite finishing week one, second best. We've got all the news on Gary White's arrival in the representative team dugout, some observations from the week one fixtures, and a look ahead to what's coming up this week in the Hong Kong Premier League. My name, as always, is James Legg, and I'm joined, as always, by Tobias Tusa.
Hello, everyone.
Toby, I think we may have chosen the wrong week to launch the new fortnightly schedule. Not much has happened on the pitch for 10 days or so, but it has just been confirmed that Gary White will be the new coach of the Hong Kong representative team, as well as the under-23 team. Who is he?
Well, for all our listeners, they probably will still remember that we have proposed him as one of our favorite candidates for this position. And indeed, there was a rumor that he was on the shortlist for quite a while now. People expected his confirmation a bit sooner already. He was in the news for quite a while, but now eventually they announced him. Most of us probably have seen Gary White a few times already in Hong Kong, and this in different positions. First as a Guam head coach. And if you think a few years back, he was actually quite successful during his time there. Very well respected by the players. And then most recently, also as head coach of Chinese Taipei. And also there, he had quite successful games with the team. His career started a bit earlier. He was never really a big player. He played, I think, a few seasons in Australia, but not really having a big playing career, but then got his reputation by managing small nation teams. I think the first team he managed was British Virgin Islands back in the 90s, and then the Bahamas. And I think with the Bahamas, he almost stayed like 9 years as technical director and as a head coach, and was successful with them, increasing their ranking. And then he already had his very famous spell with Guam. And I think this is when he first time really was noticed on the Asian stage. Soon afterwards, he picked up a head coach position at Shanghai Shenzhen, at that time in the second tier in China, and was also doing very well with them. And then eventually was known as the Chinese Taipei head coach, also known as Taiwan, of course.
And just before the appointment, there seemed to be quite a lot of controversy. It looked a bit like the usual HKFA. Too many people with too many opinions. What's going on?
Well, to be honest, I don't really understand the logic of all this resistance there. It seems that some people in the Hong Kong FA board, they are upset about the procedure, how he was selected, and they might have wanted to see other candidates instead of him being in this position. So particularly a few people have spoken out very publicly. One was Kenny Leung, the former chairwoman of Pegasus and also a board member of the Hong Kong Football Association. And she seemingly was very upset about it. To be honest, I not really see the logic behind it. From my perspective, it's a new coach and you just should give him the chance to do his best, and eventually the results will speak for themselves.
Yeah, and it's very early days. We don't really have any idea how he's going to go about this. I mean, he said a few kind of platitudes about how he's happy to be here. He mentioned a few things about being impressed with whenever he's seen Hong Kong's younger players, which is something that might be quite a change from the way things have been over the past few years, a bit of an over-reliance on older, often foreign-born players in the Hong Kong international team. We'll see how it goes, and we'll keep you up to date on that one, listeners. His first game will be a home friendly, I believe, against Thailand, yes. Which will be followed quite soon after by an away friendly in Indonesia.
That's correct.
So keep your eye on that. We'll maybe talk a little bit more about what could happen with the national team around that time. We did have one match on Sunday at Southern. The Aberdeeners played Hoi King. That game was postponed from a week earlier because of the rain, and it looked like it might get rained off again a week after. It had to be pushed back by an hour because there was so much rain on the pitch. It looked like a bog because it's a government sports ground. They had to get all of the cleaners out there to buckets and spades and stuff trying to get water off the pitch.
I also heard they used sponges to...
They used everything. They were like out there with flannels and things, just putting it in the puddle, like letting it absorb the water, putting it in a bucket. It was admirable for the amount of effort that was going into it, but I don't think it was the most organized or pre-thought through situation, which is disappointing in a city where it rains a lot and football is reliant on these kind of facilities. But in the end, they did a very good job, and it was just about playable. Chris Annan,
Hong Kong football legend.
Hong Kong football legend, was leading the line for Hoi King, now 40 years of age, a guy who's very long Hong Kong career, of course, formerly of Taipo, Kitchy, Pegasus, to name a few. And he looked great. He was up there kind of on his own, leading the line, which is one of the toughest jobs in football, especially when you're in a team which isn't going to be doing most of the running in the game. I don't think it was the best game to judge Hoi King on the whole, because the pitch was an absolute bog, meaning that the threat from players like Wellington D'Souza and Nicola Komazic was blunted somewhat. So it was hard to kind of see how they would do against opposition under normal circumstances. Great to see Komazic back playing in Hong Kong. And Nan actually scored one of the nicest goals that I've seen so far in this young season. He was all alone in the southern third and he was one-on-one with Lau Hock Ming. He did Lau with a step over, went past the defender, and curled a shot into Seata Kim's top right-hand corner. Is he the Hong Kong Premier League's oldest ever scorer?
Yeah, you would assume so, right? But it wouldn't be the Hong Kong Premier League if there's not a surprise. No, we had an older scorer before, and this was Ditinho.
Of course.
For South China in 2015.
He was still playing in 2015.
Yeah, and he was 41 at that time. He scored one goal that season, and that's the one.
No, he stayed just to get that. Just to get that goal. Anyway, that goal from Anand was the equaliser after Souza's opener for Southern. Hoi King's happiness was short-lived because Southern went straight up the other end and scored through Sam Kok Fai. And 7 minutes later, Komazic got a debut goal to seal the point. Not a bad game in the circumstances. I thought Southern's setup was interesting. New signing Marko Krasic started as a kind of left fullback opposite Sam on the right. There was a back three with Michael Luck and Tikau just in front, dictating the play. Souza was sort of marauding off Komazic, who was the number nine. Hoi King, like I say, I don't think it was the best game to draw any conclusions from, but they looked better than I thought they would. They had a real solidity, and they had a few attacks, not many, and they weren't the best, but they got a goal, and we'll see how they can do for the remainder of the season.
And let's not forget that they don't have a single foreign aid on the pitch for this game.
Yeah, that is interesting. It's a entirely Hong Kong passport-wielding squad, I believe. Or certainly starting 11 the other day. Of course, great to have Nicola Komazic back, one of the larger-than-life characters in Hong Kong football. Debut goal for him, although it wasn't the best he'll ever score. I think the most interesting game from a week earlier was definitely the Eastern versus RNF match at the Hong Kong Stadium. Both sides looked much improved from last season, especially RNF, who probably should have won this game. They did lose 3-2. They were 2-1 up entering the final minute after an absolute peach of a free kick from the excellent Thiago Delionco. But they were a man down after former Kitchy man Lo Kuan Yee on his RNF debut, elbowed former Kitchy man Lam Kar Wai on his Eastern debut. Lo was booked, second yellow, off. Cue fury from everyone. RNF coach Yeung Ching Kwong was said to the stands. He was so angry.
Not the first time.
And it's always against Eastern as well.
Yeah. Last year when he was Pegasus coach, he was also sent to the stands in Mongkok Stadium.
Yeung, of course, was Eastern coach in their title-winning season, although he did not finish it in charge and so didn't win the league with them. Anyway, in the 90th, Eastern scored through Manuel Bleda, and 4 minutes later, RNF goalie Chen Zirong spilled a shot to Jose Angel, who put it home 4-3-2. Even more RNF fury. Another of their coaches was sent to the stands. Eastern's coaches and substitutes also left the dugout, but that was to start a pile-on on the pitch, which I don't think was totally appropriate.
Yeah, maybe it was a little bit too much for the season opening game. They haven't really won anything at that stage. I could understand the joy and happiness if you win a game in the 94th minute, but I think Chen Yunting apologized later on Facebook for storming on the pitch at that time.
Yeah, which is fair enough. 3 points for Eastern. Excellent comeback. Their debutant, the brilliantly named Everton Camargo, got a goal after missing a penalty. Their defence with a back two of Yusuke Egawa and Jose Angel looked much improved from the start of last season when it was basically a disaster. But I think the real headline from this match was that early days though it is, both sides look much improved on last season. Thiago Delionco still looks like one of the best strikers in the league. Ita Barica can still hit a dead ball, but the additions that RNF have made, the likes of Baiher, Tan Chun Lok, Leung Nok Hang, who scored the opening goal of the game from a header, they all look pretty good so far. Much more organised, much more purposeful side under Yeung, which is what we expected.
And we have already mentioned that R&F really look like a very strong side in terms of the signings that they have made, but there might even be more signings to come. They are still looking in signing another foreigner. And this will depend a little bit on Giovanni Da Silva, who is at the moment applying for his Hong Kong passport. He is now 35 years of age, so it'll be interesting to see if he still makes it into the national team eventually.
Oh, but that's young for the national team.
That's true.
Put him in the youth team first.
But I mean, one funny thing, right, that you noticed, we understood R&F as this mainland team for a very long time now. Well, very long time, I mean the last 2 years that they have been playing in Hong Kong. But starting from last week, a new era somehow started. And now they start with more Hong Kong players on the pitch than Kitchy, for example. And I think that, you know, that might be very interesting once these two teams meet each other in the Hong Kong Premier League.
Yeah, well, you know, we were saying that Easton and Kitchy look so good. Do you know who Kitchy's next two matches are against?
No, not exactly.
R&F and Easton. Of course, Lowe won't play against his former side because he was sent off and will be suspended. But this could be a new challenge for the champions, who I thought looked a bit flat-footed against Lee Man on the Friday. So Kitchy R&F, that's on Sunday at the Mongkok. Big one. And if you can't make it to the Mongkok, but you still want to watch the match, it's going to cost you.
Yes, it will. $50 Hong Kong. Right, for the regular OnCC stream. So usually it's for free, but Kitchy decided that this won't be the case anymore starting from the season for all their Premier League home games. So yeah, better go into the stadium, but this will still cost you some money, $150 Hong Kong.
Wow.
Do we want to further comment this?
No, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm probably going to go to the game, so I won't be using it this weekend. And I probably will never pay $50 to watch what is normally a free stream just because Kitchy happened to be playing. But look, as always with these situations, I have a big respect for the amount of professionalism that Kitchy are bringing to their operation. I just wonder if they might be tilting a little bit too far in the opposite direction, and if in the long run it's going to have a few problems. One, alienating people, and two, just pushing them so far ahead of everyone else that we end up with a problem in terms of sustainability. But let's see. So, in fact, both of these games, the R&F game and the Eastern game, are going to happen before the next podcast in 2 weeks' time. The Eastern match is on a Tuesday. That's a public holiday, the day after the Mid-Autumn Festival.
My most favorite day of the year. Because the holiday is the day after, which is so amazing.
What's that about?
Well, that you can play all night long for a Mid-Autumn Festival because it's a festival that you can only celebrate at night. How great is that, that the holiday is the day after?
I'm glad that one of us is that excited. Anyway, so like I say, by the time we next speak, Kitchy are going to have played Eastern and R&F. By that time, how many points will Kitchy have, Toby? Bear in mind, they've already got three.
Four.
Four. So you think they're going to drop 2 points in one of these games?
Yes, absolutely.
And to whom will they drop those points?
To R&F.
Why?
Because it's time that they're going to drop some points. No, I think really R&F could be the one that really challenged Kitchy this season. Eastern as well. I think the way how they presented themselves, but the stronger team, the stronger individual players, I think, are in the R&F squad at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm looking at that Kitchy defense. If Helio doesn't come back from what I assume was injury, that's why he was missing against Lee Man, they had essentially a back two of Kim Bong Jin and Ling Ai Hoi. And those Eastern guys the other day, they struggled with Thiago Delionco. He is a real handful. He's got skill, he's got pace, he's got power, he can score goals. He scored an excellent free kick. I think he could really put those back two under serious pressure, and they have mistakes in them. They also started Giovanni Da Silva, speaking of him. So, you know, if they've got those two up front, I think that could be very dangerous. R&F also showed their strength from set pieces. They scored off a corner and then they scored direct from a free kick. There's a lot of problems there for Kitchy.
Right. So an exciting game to watch, I'm sure. And you should be there and spend all this money.
Some sad news from the Hong Kong Football Podcast community. You remember that last season we gave a shout out to Harris Halperin, a friend of a friend of the podcast who was at the time struggling with a rare form of lymphoma, a kind of cancer. Sadly, Harris died earlier this year, aged just 17. But his teammates at Ardsley High School, New York State, have come up with a special way of remembering Harris, who was slated to captain the school's football team this term. For every match, Harris is named on the team sheet and named as captain, and Ardsley start with 10 players on the field. At the first whistle, he's substituted off for another player to take his place. Well, a fine way to keep a friend's memory alive. So All the way from Hong Kong, we want to send our sympathies to Harris's dad, Dave, and Harris's friends, family, teammates, and our respect to everyone at the team for the way you're remembering your friend and captain, Harris Halperin.
Yeah, indeed. Much respect to all of you.
Definitely. Some other shout-outs this week. I met a longtime fan of the pod, Jack, at the weekend.
Hi, Jack.
And he also asked us if we could give a mention to other longtime fan, Josh, currently in South America somewhere, although he wasn't sure.
Hi, Josh.
Look at you getting shout-outs. Okay, so what else happened in the opening game week? Pegasus had a good win against Dreams, 4-1. Goals from the usual suspects, one for Joao and Mia, two for Travis Major, and a debut goal for Sasaki Shu, though it came in amusing circumstances. Did you see this?
No, how so?
Because like pretty much every pitch this weekend, it was pretty wet and there wasn't too much bounce in the pitch. And Mohammed Awal, the Pegasus winger, went through on goal and he dinked it past the goalie and the ball's rolling in. And then the grass is so kind of slow that it rolls to a stop on the goal line. And Sasaki Shu actually darted in to knock in the ball and get his first goal on his first game for Pegasus. There was also an epic 4-4 draw in the New Territories derby between Yunlong and Taipo. Every time it was Yunlong who went ahead and they were consistently pegged back by Taipo. I guess given the state that Yunlong got in, Taipo should be disappointed at that result.
Well, I think given the state that the Yunlong Stadium was in that day, maybe Taipo actually could be glad to have gotten away with this. You remember last episode, you mentioned the former nickname of Yunlong was the Farmers.
Mm.
And the condition of the pitch this week maybe really gave some tribute to this old nickname because it was really more of an agricultural exhibition game there. But I think altogether, great game, a great atmosphere and great outcome for a New Territories derby, which for a couple of times now really has been very tight and usually comes with a lot of goals and a lot of controversial refereeing decisions. So yeah, it gets up there to one of the best derbies in Hong Kong.
Yeah, when the farmers meet the greens, you can guarantee scenes.
Nice one.
I just made that up. If you couldn't tell.
That was not scripted. Oh my God.
We already mentioned the game of the weekend, which 2:30 Mongkok Stadium, Kitchee versus RNF. I think this could be a really great game, as we've already mentioned. But the weekend starts in Tsinghe, where Dreams FC will play Southern. Could be interesting. Diego Higino scored on his Dreams debut as they lost to Pegasus. But I'll be backing Southern for this one. Will you?
I think so too. The way they presented themselves and I think the additions that they have made with Nicola Komatsch in the squad, they just seem to be more organized this season as well. And Dreams are very much there where they maybe ended the season the previous year. So yeah, I would also back Solven.
Your boys Taipo host Pegasus on Saturday at 2:30 p.m. of course at Taipo Sports Ground. Pegasus are top of the league after one match. This is the first real test for the Flying Horseman's new coach, Pedro Garcia. Are you confident for Taipo?
Not too much, to be honest. I think for Pegasus, it's also a bit of a revenge. Thinking back a few months, this is where they lost the runners-up position in the last game of the season. That said, I think Taipo's squad has weakened more than Pegasus since then, with the departures of particularly Tan Chun Lok and Sean Tse. I do see them at the moment still finding the way they're going to approach these games, and I'm not that confident at this time of the season. So maybe I'm looking for a draw eventually. What about you?
No, I'll back Pegasus. I thought they looked pretty good against Dream, better than I was expecting. You know, we were a little harsh, I think. Well, not harsh. We doubted that they would be able to scale the heights this year that they did last year. And I stand by it so far. Of course, it's early days. It's only one win against Dreams. But maybe they're going to prove us wrong. Maybe it wasn't all about the coach and the organization. Maybe they really do have some extremely talented players. And of course, they do. I mean, they've kept people like Travis Major, Joao Mia. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm back in Pegasus. I think Lee Man versus Yuen Long could be interesting at the Cheung Kwan O Stadium on Saturday evening. Both sort of nowhere teams at the moment who are in danger of ending up in the bottom three. But I thought Lee Man showed flashes of threat against Kitchee. They just didn't have anyone to finish things up. The new boy, Crescendo Van Berkel, can certainly pick a pass. Maybe they can get Leung Kar Hang more involved against the farmers. What do you reckon?
Could be. I think it's particularly an interesting game because it's almost Yuen Long playing against its own former team. A lot of the players from the Yuen Long team of last season, they have moved to Liman, and also the former coach Chang Chutat is the assistant coach now of Liman. So there will be a lot of familiar faces on both sides, and maybe both of them very well know what to expect from the other team. I think Yuen Long so far have proven quite a bit of confidence. I think we wouldn't have expected that they come out that strong in the first game, getting a draw against Taipo, their district team rival, despite having a very, very young team with players that are just coming up from the youth teams or former semi-professionals because they've lost most of their squad. So it will be interesting how they now get on against Liman with that. But yeah, it's particularly exciting because both teams have a shared history.
Definitely. And finally, 5:30 Sunday, Eastern will play Hoi King at the Hong Kong Stadium, their new home. Of course, I think it'll be a home win.
It will be a home win, but in front of a very limited crowd.
Do you know, I forgot to mention about Hoi King. Have you seen their cool kit?
It's a cool kit, yeah.
It's got a big lightning bolt going down the front.
Yeah, like the Flash.
Yeah. But it's actually part of their badge as well. So, I mean, it's almost like deliberate.
Yeah, it's Kelmer, right?
Yeah.
Right. And Kelmer does great stuff.
Yeah. So they were playing in their away kit last week and it was like light blue and white. Very cool. But I think in this game, they're more likely to wear the red one, which is the same. It also has the lightning bolt down the front. And yeah, maybe the best kit of the season in a pretty weak crowd.
Well, don't underestimate their R&F away kit.
Oh, yeah. Haven't seen that in the flesh yet. Looking forward to that. Yeah, I think that's everything. That's all of the kits covered for now. That's all of the games covered. We will be back in 2 weeks. Until then, enjoy the games. Enjoy the big R&F versus Kitchy match if you can afford it. And we hope that your team wins. Until 2 weeks from now, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's a place for you.